Do you like winning free stuff? Then you're in luck. For the next couple of weeks, we're hosting not one, but two exciting photo contests right now at toyphotographers.com. In the first, you have a chance to win an entire box of Series 18 collectible LEGO minifigures and a $200 LEGO shopping spree. And in the other, we're giving away one of the new LEGO Downtown Diner modular buildings. So don't delay. You can get all of the details on our website, toyphotographers.com. You're listening to the Toy Photographers Podcast, the official podcast of toyphotographers.com. I'm James Garcia, and on this show, I talk to photographers around the world who are turning LEGO, action figures, miniatures, custom creations, and more into amazing works of art. This week's guest is a good photography friend of mine and someone readers of our blog will immediately recognize, Tourmaline. Tourmaline is a miniature photographer from Florida who was one of our first regular contributors at toyphotographers.com. I talked to her about how she chooses her miniature subjects, her recognizable style, and the new project she's working on in 2018. How and when did you get into photography?
I went on vacation to the Smoky Mountains with my family when I was in middle school, and I didn't know anything about photography at that point, but I had my mom's old film camera, not a DSLR or anything, just one of those, I feel like, generic ones everyone had. Yeah. At one point. And I just, I kept it with me the whole week and took pictures of all the nature around us and just really enjoyed the results when we got them developed. I can't say they were like good pictures, but it was really the first time I'd done anything like that. And so not that I really did much more than that at that period in my life, but then I took a couple photo classes in high school, and that's where I really fell in love with it, especially darkroom photographer. I was like, photography. I was really determined that I was just going to be like a landscape darkroom photographer. And I majored in photography in college and took a whole 180 there and really liked using color more so. And not that you can't develop color film, but it's not really a process many people use just since the chemicals are so dangerous.
Yeah.
So I definitely got more on a digital kick. And there we have it, as far as photography, not photography specifically.
Sweet. So did you stick with photography after like high school and college then, and then eventually get into toy photography, or how did that go?
Yeah. So technically my first toy photography series was actually in high school for an English project. So it was about almost 10 years ago now. And I illustrated William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying with like kind of miniature scenes. And they were literally the worst photos ever. But I really liked the results and how I could use toys to like, you know, show these scenes that I couldn't take a picture of in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back to that when I was in college. I did a couple darkroom photographs with toys, but I didn't have like a macro lens or anything like that with my film camera, so they just weren't really, there wasn't too much detail to them. But then I had a color narrative project, and really the only way I could think to tell a story was through miniatures, which I think is just, I've always been kind of really into the smallest version of things possible, so I think I've always enjoyed them as something that people can really find themselves in, like delve into. And so then for that digital color photography class, when I illustrated scenes of someone coming home to tell like a spouse or family member that their spouse had died in war, I illustrated those with like train scale miniatures. And from that point forward, I just used toys and everything.
Awesome. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that specifically because the term miniatures is a very broad term. And when I was trying to explain to my wife, because she was like, who are you talking to today? And I had shown her some of your stuff before, but most of the people I've talked to have been like LEGO photographers or action figure people. So it's right. Really easy to explain. But miniatures is a really broad term. Can you tell me exactly? I know that you do several different subjects and it kind of morphs and changes, but what exactly do you use as your subjects and your toys?
To be perfectly honest, what I use is kind of overreaching and broad. Like I'll kind of use anything that's small scale that speaks to me or seems like it'll work in the scene I'm envisioning.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, though, I do find myself constantly returning to HO scale miniatures, which the figures there are about 2 centimeters tall and they're used in like model train sets. Yeah, that's kind of where my first series in college was within scale, which is even smaller. But HO scale, there's more, it's the more popular scale. So there's more available. I don't have any trains whatsoever, but I'll use cars, figures, scenery, and stuff of that scale a lot.
Are those things easy to come by, or do you have to like go to like a specialty train store and pick those things out, or?
So train modeling, I don't want to say it's like a dying art, but it's, people just don't buy stuff in stores for it. So pretty much all the local stores have closed. There was one pretty close that I'd go to occasionally, and there's still stores that have some of that stuff, but they're like larger modeling stores, so it's like very small selection. So I'll mostly get it online, either through eBay or this website called HobbyLink. But there is an annual train show here that I'll go to every year and get things I can find there.
Yeah, and things that you probably wouldn't find other places or wouldn't think to search out, you know?
Right.
And I know that you also use, you mentioned scenery and stuff, you also use like dioramas and you make things yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that process? And are those things that you just, when you have an idea, you make something for it or seek specific things out, or what's that process like?
Yes, I make dioramas to an extent, but I can't say that they'd ever be like show worthy. I keep them pretty simple because I like the idea of transforming the scene through light and the camera and all of that. It's kind of just, it's one of the things I enjoy about miniature and toy photography. But I use a lot of like scrapbook paper, model grass, trees, sand, dirt, things like that, just to kind of create the feel that there is a larger world out there. Even if you saw behind the scenes and it's literally like a cardboard box lid filled with sand, you know, like,
yeah.
So the process is pretty much like, I'll think of a series or a photo or whatever, and then figure out how to either simplify that or what I have that would make kind of that feel, if that makes sense, and then build it at that point. But I probably have it in the back of my mind for like weeks before I actually do it, because I'm just one of those people who has to really like think through everything before I photograph it. Like, I'm not great about like being in the moment with toy photography. I like want to have a full picture of what I want.
You've written before about how miniatures are iconographic, simplistic versions of things. You mentioned that when you set up a scene, you're not trying to be super photorealistic. Can you talk a bit about how you try to capture that in your photography?
So I think in the fact that I find them like simplistic, iconographic versions, and I'm really trying to create photos that show emotions or kind of dreamlike states. Like, I want to draw people in where they can maybe either empathize with the figure that's there or kind of feel what's around them, like the ambiance. And I don't know that I'm always successful in that, but that's kind of the end goal. So rather than focusing on the fact that it's an icon, I'm trying to focus on the fact that it's symbolic of. Like, if you see this shadowed figure that looks like a woman, you're going to assume it's a woman, whether it's 2 centimeters or 5 feet.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like I'm almost trying to give them these inanimate objects like a life, a story, by further simplifying how simplistic they already are, like whether putting them in shadow or behind fog or something, like creating a mystery around them where it kind of blurs the line between the fantasy and reality.
I love that. And I think that definitely comes through in your photos. Like you said, the ambiance really comes through, and it borders on being abstract.
Yeah, thank you. That's kind of what I'm looking for, yeah.
Do you find that helpful with how limiting miniatures can be? I was just Googling some of those train people, and you know, you can't pose them. They usually come on little bases. They're meant to just kind of be scene setters, not exactly as like photographic subjects you can manipulate. Do you find that limiting, or do you find that helpful in your what you're going for?
I think somewhere in between. For the most part, I've like kind of learned how to work with them because they've been like the main thing I keep coming back to. I will cut them off their bases because I like, you know, having the whole body. And sometimes they come without bases. But I've actually been even trying to work with ones that are unpainted, which creates more of an abstracted feel. But they no articulation at all. They're just in the pose they're in. And a lot of times it's very particular to trains. You know, they're like waving goodbye to someone, or they're sitting, or they're whatever. But I have a decent collection of them, and I will like buy more and stuff. And it really, it's like if I have an idea in my head of how I want a figure to be posed, I kind of all go through. I have these little drawers. I mean, you can fit 200 of them in one little drawer. And I'll kind of sort through all of them to see if there's anything similar to that pose I'm already looking for. Hmm. And if there's nothing that'll work at all, I'll kind of scroll through that website I mentioned earlier, or I'll actually like cut off the arms of one and glue them on another. Or yeah, I'm not very nice to them. I figure out how to make it work. And it's one of those things, since I'm willing to cut them apart if need be, which doesn't happen super often, but that means I can always just detach that arm and add another one later. Like, I'm not really wasting the figure when all comes down. At the last train show I went too, not trying to veer off topic, but I got a little bag of unpainted figures, and they're all really, really detailed, which I was pretty excited about because I paid like $1 for it. And I opened them up, and two of the guys are missing their arms. And I'm like, well, someone else is chopping off arms of figures too.
So you're not the only one.
I'm not the only one.
You've written before, too, about how you try to juxtapose the happiness of toys and the preconceived notions we have of toys with darker subject matter. You mentioned, you know, the whole World War II series you did.
Personally, and this is probably just, I don't know, my personality type or something, but I am more drawn to darker artworks. Not necessarily like horror or anything, but just ones that are kind of like film noir-esque, like things that are mysterious or something slightly wrong, and I just pay more attention to those. And I think also, like, a lot of the emotions I portray, not necessarily the subject matter, you know, I haven't experienced someone telling me my loved one died in that way or anything like that, but in the emotions I portray are things I've possibly felt at some point, whether like kind of an anxiety or a depression or that feeling of like this suffocating stillness, like you're stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's, I mean, I'm a pretty happy person altogether. I'm not trying to paint this in any sort of way, but I just, those things feel important to me to portray. And I feel like a lot of people experience those things no matter how much they actually talk about them or how often they experience them. And I feel like they're very relatable in that way, like,
yeah,
and more of a contemplative piece. And not that I'm against making happy things, but I almost feel like for me, it's pretty, toys are typically happy objects. So I think I find it more interesting in showing them while people can still really see themselves in like toys and miniatures, they can like really relate to them, whether through nostalgia or iconography or whatever it may be. And being those toys being able to tell a variety of stories, more than just the happy side of what we experience.
You not only photograph toys, but you write about the experience as well. Have you always liked writing? How did you eventually mesh those two things together?
It's a really good question because I don't completely know. I'm pretty well versed in how my photography came to be, but the writing thing is a whole nother story. I've always liked like researching, and when I'm passionate about something, I kind of want to share that. And I feel like writing, at least on my own blog or the Toy Photographer's blog, has kind of given me another avenue to talk about like my passion for miniature and toy photography. But like that's, I've written like poetry off and on, but it's very, very like where photography is like always my focus. Writing like kind of comes and goes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really into it for a while and then I'm over it. And my sister, it was like a pretty prolific blogger and poet and all these things. And she's always been like that. And I always wanted to not be like my sister. So I think that's maybe why I can't go as far back, really, like I've always been into it sort of thing.
Do you find that writing about it helps the photography? Do you get ideas through writing?
Maybe in a less formal sense, because pretty much not everything I photograph, but a lot of what I photograph, I've like written down ideas or kind of drawn sketches or something, you know, like I'm constantly forming those ideas through a lot of times writing. It's not anything that comes, you know, to something I'd publish on a blog, but it's just kind of helping me remember that idea that popped into my head at this really inopportune time and then come back to it later and further develop it. When I do write those more formal posts, I think it's often a reflection, but I think reflecting can be really important in like furthering your photography too, because you realize why you're doing what you're doing or why you're interested in what you're interested in, and then you can further like focus on that.
So you first started writing for Toy Photographers last year. You were a big part of the blog. How did you get connected to the community and start writing for the blog?
So it sort of came in a roundabout way. I had discovered Exclude Design Collective through Isaac Winteria, if I'm pronouncing his name right. I had followed him on Instagram for some time. I don't remember how I found him, but I really wasn't aware of like the wide world of toy photography. Like, I knew kind of a couple people currently working in it and some historic examples, but I didn't know it was a thing a ton of people do. So I reached out to Exclue and was just like, hey, how can I be a part of this? And they offered me a spot in their third issue, like immediately, which was really cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So then through that, I discovered all the like nightly hashtag competitions, the toy pops and all that through Instagram. So I started participating in those, and pretty much at the same time I discovered Stuck in Plastic. Like, I was looking up, I was kind of really frustrated about big business copyright and trademark things. I don't know, I get on these little frustrated tangents. And I saw a blog post I think Shelley had written on Stuck in Plastic, and I'd commented this big long comment. And so I guess that's how she discovered me. And she reached out to me and asked if I'd write a why post for toy photographers. And the rest was history. Pretty soon after that, I started writing. It was a month or two later, I started writing like weekly. And I'm not at the moment, but I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that too.
Yeah.
How was it writing for the blog for the year? You know, we talked about writing, I guess, a few minutes ago, but just how was that experience writing frequently for the blog and being so connected to that community?
I felt like I finally found my people. Like, I was like, because I felt so... For the most part, like, I don't like social media, to be honest. I don't feel like I'm good at it. I don't like, you know, having to find all the right hashtags or write the right caption. I don't know how noticeable it is, but most of the time I, like, refuse to write captions on my Instagram posts, even though I think people prefer it if I do, because I'm just like, it is what it is. But writing for, you know, discovering the toy photography community, and I was like, okay, other people are doing this. These are people who actually understand what I'm doing, because I wasn't finding a lot of that. I'd been kind of, around that time, I was pretty frustrated with, like, the fine art world, and just, I mean, you know, it's kind of all a politics game a little bit.
Yeah.
And I really just wanted to make stuff, and it's cool if someone likes that, or if someone sort of at least understands why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it was kind of like this relief all of a sudden to, like, realize there is, like, a community for this. So then further, like, being able to write about it and connect with other people, like, it was really gratifying when I got comments completely agreeing with what I was talking about, when I was talking about kind of, like, the frustrations or the getting in funks and not creating things or whatever it may be. That said, a lot of my blogs, I feel like, almost ended up being rewordings of the same thing, just because it was, like, my constant, you know, struggles with things manifesting in slightly different forms. But yeah, no, it was great. And, you know, hopefully I will return to it at some point. It's just, I took a step back from it, and honestly, most social media. Like, I'm still posting on Instagram, but I haven't really been super active with my own blog or really any other social media accounts, because I just kind of, I mean, it's a little bit of burnout, but it's just a lot of, I was getting really, really stressed about what I was going to post next instead of, like, focusing on the actual act of creating, which is the part I enjoy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just needed to kind of refocus my efforts, because I wasn't actually liking what I was doing.
Since you have taken a step back, what have you been up to? Have you been, I've noticed you've been doing a few different things. You created a YouTube channel, you're doing some more arts and crafts kind of things. Can you talk about those things? What has your 2018 been like so far?
Yeah, so as far as toy photography, I'm not creating a lot. But what I am creating, I've been pretty happy with. And with the YouTube channel and just, like, taking a step back from things combined, is, like, I'm just kind of enjoying experimenting with new mediums. And at this point, like, I'm a very new beginner with the things I'm kind of featuring on YouTube. And I'm trying to use anything I make in those videos to make at least one, like, diorama-esque photo at the end with what's in that video, to not totally take my focus off what my main passion is. But I really like the learning process of art, or the learning process of mediums. And I think the more I know about, like, what's available to me and what I can create, also the more unique photos I can create. And so that's not necessarily how this started as an ultimate goal, but I was just feeling, like I was saying, sort of burnt out about everything. I've also been, for the past 5 months, severely B12 deficient.
Ooh.
So, and that, I'll circle back around. This has something to do with this. I didn't really know that until a couple months ago. But as my levels have been coming up, it's like my symptoms have what I did have going on. Like, the neurological symptoms are better, but I've just been insanely exhausted. I can't focus on anything. And I was super demotivated to make anything, because the couple hours of clarity I had a day, it didn't seem worth it to, you know, go make myself tired again. And not that that's why the YouTube and crafty stuff came around, but it's like a part of it, in the sense that they're, like, shorter focused periods that, like, I'm not getting all caught up in, like, conceptual art concepts. I'm just, like, enjoying the act of creating something while also, you know, learning more about, you know, editing videos or filming things, or, you know, different types of art mediums in general. So I think it's just kind of a bunch of things came into play, and we'll see what it turns into. I've noticed even though I've maybe only done like 10 YouTube videos or something, I've noticed like as I've been developing ideas for future ones, they've kind of been, and as I've been feeling more like a person since my like B12 levels are getting better, they've kind of been merging into photo ideas also, like certain resin ideas of this resin thing I want to create. I want to do certain things with it because I want to take this cool photo with it. So I think, and it's still kind of merging on that. I don't know if you saw some of the like mirrored animal and stuff pictures I made with like the patterns and stuff around
them. Yeah, I've seen some of that.
Not that I'm going to do more of that specifically, but I kind of still want to focus on the more surreal. Like I want to push using toys further than like, yeah, where it's some sort of still relatable, like emotive concept, that it's more of this surreal world, like less something you really could photograph in the real world. So like push it further into kind of like these dreamlike scenarios. So we'll see where that leads me, but that's sort of the goal of at least things to try in 2018.
On top of writing for Toy Photographers and being in touch with the community, you also run your own, you have your own blog where you do challenges. Can you talk a little bit about your blog and what your goals are there?
It's been a little hit or miss as well lately because of, you know, all the reasons we talked about earlier, but I've been hosting challenges for a few years now. It started out with the one word photo challenge, which is basically what it sounds like. It's one word every week that to respond to photographically, whether you have a photo already or create a new one. Since then, I've branched off to also having a weekly weather, which is like weather-based challenges. The Color Your World, which is based on the 120 crayon colors. So that's a daily challenge the first 4 months of the year. And then there's a Halloween challenge. All in all, like they kind of came as ways to grow my blog initially because WordPress is very like community-based and people like joining in with other people's blogs. And I've stepped back from actually posting those all the time because I felt like it was kind of taking over my blog content to where I have one post a week highlighting like the themes of that week. People have so far been pretty supportive of that, so that's good. You know, the regular contributors, and it helps that those people, I feel like chunk of the regular contributors have like been with me since I started this website like senior year of college for my portfolio project. So I think we kind of feel like we know each other a little bit at least. As far as the blog, I've been kind of trying to rework what my goals actually are for it, because I was trying to post daily on it, but it was just like a photo, and I feel like it needs to be more text-based content. Like that's kind of what a blog is for. But as I've sort of stepped back from writing things, I've felt less motivated to do that. So I'm sort of still working out my goals, but I like having that space available for when I do want to write things. And it's attached to my portfolio website. So, you know, it kind of drives traffic to that, so it helps on both ends.
Circling back a little bit about the toy photography community, you've kind of created your own little niche there too. On Facebook, you have a Florida Toy Photographers group that you've started. Can you talk a little bit about why you wanted to do that and how that's been so far?
Yeah, the Florida Toy Photographers group is, I don't really have the means, and I feel a lot of other people might not, to like travel to the West Coast for a week, and that sounds great and I'd love to, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. So I thought it'd be kind of a cool concept that if I could find and gather like the local people, maybe we could have some like mini meetups and things, or just at least, you know, if you want to go out and shoot with someone, there's someone available. Now there's like 13, 14 people in that group. Really only a couple of us are active, but I'm thinking like the longer it exists or the longer we get more stuff out about it, maybe the bigger it'll become and maybe nothing will come of it, but you know, it's worth trying, I think.
Yeah, I'm part of that too, just because I used to travel to Florida for work and I never got the chance to meet anybody, but I liked the idea that I could. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, because I think there's a couple people that are, you know, from other countries in that group. I've never seen them post, but I said, you know, like if they're going to be in Florida and they want to meet up with one of us, sure.
Do you have any advice for people just getting into photography or toy photography or miniature photography?
I think what's been most important to me, rather than focusing on like the props you have or the equipment you have, is just really learning about yourself, like what your aesthetic is, the things you're drawn to, and being able to put yourself into your work. Because I think the more personal your work is, the more distinctive it is, the more, which is kind of an art and fear quote, the more relatable it is to other people. Because we all kind of, I mean, it's like what we talked about a little earlier, that we all do go through similar things and similar experiences, no matter how much we realize it. And I think the more available your work is to others, like the more they can find themselves in it or feel what you're trying to show about yourself, the more they'll be drawn to your work.
where could people find your blog? Where can people find you on Instagram? What are your handles and where can people get you?
So most social media, I'm at Tourmaline Now. That's T-O-U-R-M-A-L-I-N-E. Now in O-W. And then my website is the same. It's tourmalinenow.com.
It hadn't been announced yet when Tourmaline and I recorded this episode, but if you're interested in viewing her work in person, now you can. From now until July 22nd, she has prints on display at the Gallery of Small Art at D. Thomas Fine Miniatures at Yoho Studios in Yonkers, New York. You can get all the details at dthomasfineminiatures.com/badass. That's dthomasfineminiatures.com/badass. Thank you so much for listening. You can find new episodes of this podcast and daily articles on creativity and toy photography on our website, toyphotographers.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We also ask that you please leave us a 5-star review. That'll help spread the word about the show and help us get noticed. You can find us on Facebook at Toy Photographers and on Instagram at _toyphotographers_. Music for this week's episode is courtesy of freemusicarchive.org. And finally, you can reach out to us with comments, concerns, recommendations, etc. at toyphotographypod@gmail.com. I'm James Garcia. You can find my work every single week at toyphotographers.com, as well as on Twitter at TheRealJames, real spelled R-E-E-L, on Instagram at TheRealJames23, and on my website, TheRealJames.com. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.